Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 8. We've been in the book of Mark for a little bit of time now, going through the gospel according to Mark. Amen. And we kind of did a larger passage last week in the book of Mark. And I had said we're probably going to go back and take some of the little spots here that we used as an overall theme there, outlined last week. And we're going to look at some of those things individually. And so one of those is this week. It's found in Mark chapter 8. Verse 22, I prayed about what to preach today, and ironically, and some will know this just because of different ones having different issues among our church, it actually deals with the blind man who was healed by Jesus Christ, and it's been fun because I got to actually study a little bit like concerning Paul, and there is a thought that Paul had bad eyesight, and like the thorn that was in his flesh, one thought, it doesn't really reveal in the scriptures exactly what that is. Not even by tradition does it reveal exactly what that is. But it is thought that maybe it was his eyesight. And then as I was studying today, it just hit me. That would make perfect sense. And we'll see exactly why that was when we look at that text here in just a little bit. Anyway, I know for me, I struggle with my eyesight. I have issues with my eyesight. And I had to get glasses when I was in third grade, believe it or not. And my family, Dana's kind of plagued with that as well. And so our kids are most of them are worse off than me, amen, as far as regular eyesight. But even beyond just needing a correction, I've had problems with my eyes all my life. I'm always going back and forth between contacts and glasses, whatever works for the time. Half the time when I'm wearing both, I still don't see really well. And so there's some churches that you say it's too bright in here. I need it that way. I don't know about you, amen. Bring sunglasses because some of us really need it. Just to be able to read, amen, to be able to see. Light is my friend, amen, for being able to see. But even then, I just strange things with my eyes. So I feel for those that struggle with eyesight. I've had migraines, different things like that where I'll lose my vision. Like in the center, little spots everywhere. I have floaties. I've had floaties in my eyes all my life. Some say that means you have health issues. I'm sure I do, amen. I don't really know about them, but I'm sure I do, amen. But I've had floaties. A lot of times I'll be looking at something. I got to move my eyes around so the floaties move. And so it's just what it is what it is. But I do appreciate very much the ability to see as much as I can, amen. Very thankful. And I don't know what it's like not to be able to see at all, to be blind. And I would be very, very compassionate towards those that have eye issues. I feel for you. I definitely do. I can feel that a lot of that with you, amen, as you go through those things. It's no fun. I know it can make you nauseous and all kinds of things. Eyesight is a big deal, amen. And so when Jesus here will heal this blind man, we look at these things like, yeah, that's great. For him, it was a life changer, amen. It was absolutely amazing. And there's some spiritual application we can draw in reference to this, and we're going to do that today. But we're going to read this text in its entirety. It's Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, just five verses here. We're going to read this to start. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and brought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and looked and made him look up. And it says he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the gathering together today in this place, God, to hear your word, to sing glorious songs, which just testify of your greatness, God, and give you glory. I pray that you've been honored today with the service. I thank you, God, for the choir special, Lord. A lot of work's been put into that, the dedication there of each one that are willing to get up and to stand before the congregation and sing in that capacity, Lord, and to take the time it takes outside of service times to learn the parts, and Kyle, who leads it. Thank you, God, for the choir. God, thank you for each one that's here who is able to sing out during the congregational time and to be able to just enjoy together us singing praise to your holy name. And God, we thank you, God, for the word of God, for each of us to have a copy in our hands. God, it's truly a miracle of God for this to take place. There's been many in our world throughout the ages that have tried to destroy and get rid of the word of God, and yet it's preserved just as you said it would be. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for the ability, Lord, to tune in and, God, to have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. God, thank you for the ability to bring forth the word as we believe the Holy Spirit would have us to today. And we sure do pray that there would be an unction of the Holy One, God, upon this service today, that we would all be able to hear exactly, God, what you have for us. Teach us something from your word today. Do a great work, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. We thank you. We commit this time to you, and we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we know really nothing of the reason for this man's blindness. There's some other different texts that we would see some reasons given there, but in this particular text, we really don't know why this man was blind. We don't know if it was an accident. We know if it was from birth. We're not sure on this particular text, but we know that he was blind. Amen. At this point, that was the main issue. Also, this man knew some people who happened to know Jesus. And when you're blind, you really do need help of others. And in this context, those that knew Christ and knew what was going on, he's been around the Sea of Galilee area for a while on both sides. As we've studied, this is chronologically from what we've already gone through. If you've been in the services for a while now, you'll know that Christ has been all around the Sea of Galilee. There's been a couple feedings, a feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000, the ship that was tossed about like and unto be broken, on and on and on. All these different things have happened. He's actually gone to Tyre and now back to Galilee, and here we are. So he's been around for a little while, and some people have really come to know Jesus. And so they knew this man that was blind, and they went and got him and led him by the hand to Jesus. And then while they were there, we know that they encouraged Jesus to touch this man because they believed the faith of this group that led this blind man to Jesus. The faith that they had was that if he would just but touch him, that he would be healed. Amen. And so we know that was all some facts and details given in this passage. We also know that the means by which Jesus healed this man was a little unorthodox. Amen. It says that he actually, it says in verse number 23, and when he had spit on his eyes. You say, that's gross. It wasn't gross to this blind man. Amen. Amen. The blind man didn't care how he got his sight back. Amen. And so we just go ahead and lose that gross part. Amen. I don't care what fluid we're talking about with the Lord I'm in. Amen. I'm just saying. And spit is good. Amen. Spit him of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that spit had some healing power to it. Amen. And sure enough, this guy had his sight restored. I find that it's interesting. Different things going on, the Asbury Revival, different things. Kind of watched a couple of clips and all that. And I watched this one. It was a guy, and he was out in the lawn. He wasn't part of the thing going on there. And he was preaching something, but he was obviously of a Pentecostal sort, probably a oneness Pentecostal. And he pulled out this passage in reference to the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you don't do that with every passage like this one. Amen. We like to pull a lot of our little pet passages out and say, we're just following this. But the reality is most people aren't going around spitting on eyes looking for a healing. Like this passage says, amen. Just threw that out there for free. Amen. Blindness. The word blindness means deprived of natural sight. It also would mean not having the faculty of discernment, spiritual discernment, unable to understand or to judge. So, when we talk about blindness, and the Bible uses it this way, and really we do as well even when we talk, but there is a physical blindness where my eyes physically I can't see, but then there's also a spiritual blindness to where I just don't understand. It seems like more this year I've met of people that say, I cannot understand the Bible. I try to read it, and I just don't understand it. We would say, well, that's because of a spiritual blindness, right? That's I see it, but I don't see it, right? I see that there's words there, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Well, the Bible describes that as blindness also. Turn over to John chapter number 9. Blindness can be natural, meaning of our eyes, or spiritual, meaning that you're not able to see in mind and heart. Isn't it an amazing thing for us to be able to see with what's been called our mind's eye. The Bible speaks of this, amen? Where you can sit back and you can see all kinds of things without seeing physically. Isn't that amazing? Right? That's very amazing. Well, we're going to find something in this text. We're going to bring some things together in reference to that. John chapter 9 and verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. In this case, we know this guy was born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Hallelujah. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. I just want you to stay right there. If this guy just spit on the ground, made clay, put it on someone's eyes, and now he sees, I'm saying that's a miracle right there, amen. And we have to at least give credit where credit's due. The Pharisees, though, because they were blind, because they weren't physically blind, they could see, but they were spiritually blind. Because they could not see or believe anything good from Jesus, because they would not receive that, they wouldn't even acknowledge that this just took place. And I would just say, at least acknowledge today that God is at work. He's at work. I'm a walking testimony of that. If you knew there aren't many here that there are hardly any, Dana knew me before I was saved, amen. But if you knew who I was before I was saved, you'd have to at least say, something happened. Something happened drastically to that guy's life. Amen? And whatever it was, it's still happening. 29 years later, my mom, after I got saved, I told her I got saved, and she goes, well, we'll see how long this lasts. She has since passed. She sees differently now, of course. But I said, yeah, mom had every right to say that, right? Because of who I was, because what I had done and what I was doing. And I said to myself, when she said that, I said to myself, yep, we'll see. Amen. So you have to at least acknowledge. It's amazing when God gets a hold of a life. It really is amazing what happens. They really are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have to at least acknowledge that, unless you're blind. Right? Unless you just don't want to see. You have to at least acknowledge that when God gets a hold of a life, when someone gets saved, something drastic happens in that person's life. Amen. You have to at least acknowledge. Well, we find in this text, verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciple?" He got a little Holy Spirit boldness coming on him. Amen. Verse number 28. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God," I mean, this is a good message. If this is the blind guy, the guy that was blind and now can see, amen, he's preaching. And that's what happens when you get saved. You know, your spirit, it's not just your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes are open and you become quite the preacher, amen. Verse 33, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? They cast him out." That's quite amazing. They're so blind that they rejected the one that did the healing, and now they're rejecting the one that was healed because they can't give an answer to what just happened before them. Amen. And this is the issue with blindness, especially when we talk about spiritual blindness. The man that was physically blind got healed. Obviously, he knows a miracle took place. But those that are spiritually blind, they refuse to see anything they've already set aside from their sight. They've already determined themselves. It's like those that believe in evolution and all that, some of the main leaders and all that. They'll agree with you that it sure does look like there's evidence that there's a creator or at least some design in creation. But they'll say it can't be the God of the Bible. And you say, well, why not? Because it can't be. That's why. We can't let a divine foot in the door, they say. Amen. So you're open to any other possibility except that one. Right. But what if that one is the right one? Well, then you're always going to be blinded to the truth. Does that make sense? And that's the issue of blindness. That's the issue that we see here with the Pharisees. They were highly educated in religious matters. They knew the Bible. They knew all these things. But they had already predetermined that they were going to be blind concerning Jesus Christ. But he is the one that was sent to take away the sins of the world. And so now they've kept themselves from the truth. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that the guy that had his eyesight restored. And when he had found him, so Jesus, it says, said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And that Lord there is like he being that master teacher. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, this is why we've read all this to get to this point. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." That's profound. It's one of those profundities of the scripture. So because the Pharisees were open to seeing error, but blind unto the truth. He says, I've come that those that can see would be made blind. And we're going to focus on that into the, in and through this message. Verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. Okay, the Pharisees heard this exchange. They cast him out, but apparently they went out when they saw this guy talking to the perpetrator, Jesus, amen. And said unto him, so the Pharisees, after hearing that, said to Jesus, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. Jesus healed this man's physical blindness and then turned to call attention to the Pharisees' spiritual blindness. Now, spiritually, we are called to be blind to carnal matters. We're called to be blind, even our own way of thinking, right? In Proverbs, it talks about how we are not to set our own understanding, our own thoughts, our own ways above God's ways, amen? And so first and paramount in our lives is that we are open to the Word of God and we let God bring truth to us. And it's from that truth then we can understand how things work. The Pharisees were closed to the truth, and so all they had left was their own understanding. The Bible says, in all our ways, we're to acknowledge Him, and then He will direct our paths. And so the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees was actually because their eyes were open to wrong things. Their eyes were open to a false reality. And by the way, we all do this in our lives. We create our own reality. Amen? That's why we argue with people. Amen? I have determined my truth. And now, the day we live, now everybody's pushing what they believe to be truth. And some of it's craziness. Right? The Bible teaches there's two genders. If that troubles you, your problem's not with me, it's with God. Right? In the beginning, He made male and female. And now you got this crowd that says, well, there's more than just two. There's like over 100 genders. Right? And you could be chronogender, and you could change your gender based on the time of day. These are really out there. These are really out there. All this fluid type gender stuff that's going on. Even to the place that these young people in their young years are being led down this path, that if they believe they're really not the gender that they were actually biologically born with, they should go through a surgery to make themselves who they think they should be in their reality. This is the day that we live. It's a horrible. You say, well, you're a bigot. You're insensitive. No, I'm just trying to see things from the truth perspective, because I think it's torturous. I think it's abusive for this to be going on. Amen. From what I believe to be God's perspective. Amen. So what we do is we create this sphere of our truth. And then when anything comes up against it, we fight people for it, right? And that's what's going on here. And we see this here in this case. And so what Jesus is saying is to the Pharisees, you're going to have to become blinded to what you've adopted as your truth so that you can have your eyes open to see what really is true. Does that make sense? And that's the context of what's going on here. So the blind man in Mark 8 knew he was blind, and he was willing to be led by the hand to Jesus Christ. Now, him knowing he was blind, that's important. But if he wouldn't have been willing to be led to Jesus, he would have stayed blind. Because the answer to his blindness was found in Christ, if that makes sense. Amen? Look at Luke 4. Luke 4, verse number 18. You say, I don't like that. Well, then stay in your lost, miserable condition then. You're fine to do so. You don't have to come to Jesus for sight. You don't have to. You can stay right like you are. Right? You can. I wouldn't advise it, but you can. Amen. And this is true if you're lost, needing to be saved. This is true if you're saved And at that spot in your life right now where, you know, and by the way, all of us are this way. There are a lot of things that you and I as believers, we just don't know the truth on yet. That's why we're constantly studying, constantly growing, constantly reproving and challenging ourselves by the truth. That's why you can engage in a lifelong study of the Word of God. And every day you study that thing, God is going to show you something and teach you something. And by the way, if you can be taught, that means currently you don't know something. Amen? Amen. And so this is the way it works. Amen. This is how it works. So nobody here claims to know everything. Nobody. But we're all just a bunch of students trying to know God better. Amen. Trying to know truth better. You do realize if God created everything, then he created it built in with his own data, his own background code, so that if we know the code of how God works and made everything, then we know how things work, then we can respond properly to things. Does that make sense? Because the manufacturer has given us a manual to understand what he created. We understand this if we buy a new refrigerator, amen? We understand this with the modern day cars. You got to study that manual forever to figure out what your car does nowadays, amen? Right? You know, there's a little computer screen and all that, trying to figure things out and all that. Say, how do you know? Well, this is how you know. You look at it and you say, this is how I want it to be. And you're going to start pushing buttons. And then if it doesn't act right, you're going to get mad at it. That's how most people treat these things, right? That's how most people treat life. God, I keep trying to do right and my life is falling apart. And then blame God. Whoa. You can't blame God. God has given you the manual. Why don't you study the manual? And that's like getting mad at your TV. Change the channels. Well, it's not changing channels. What's because it doesn't have voice control. But change channels now. Now. I said, I'm throwing it away. And then I come along and pick it up off the side of the road. Thank you very much for a TV. Amen. Woo! And I look up online, find the manual. It works great. I'm happy. Yeah. That's the problem with people in life. They're not willing to go to the manual to find out why their problem is what it is and find the solution. And you can beat your head against your wall all you want, but as you do, you're just going to get bloody. And you're going to have a headache over it. And you can be upset because it is what it is, but it doesn't change anything. Until you're willing to see that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness in his word, until you're willing to be opened to the reality that this is the case, you're going to stay blind. You see, and that's what we see here in this text. Now, in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, the gospel message truly is the foundation of all deliverance in our lives. The death, the burial, the resurrection. That is the foundational truth that unlocks all truths so that we can be delivered in every aspect of our lives to live as God would have us to. Amen? And you might not fully understand that, but that's the case. Amen? Jesus is salvation. He's the one that's been sent to set us free, to set us at liberty, and to heal our blindnesses. Amen? Look over at Acts 9. Acts 9, I mentioned Paul earlier. This is his conversion experience. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I at least want to reference this before we draw all this together and make some application today. The answer to spiritual blindness truly is Christ. The byproduct is sight. The answer to spiritual blindness is to first recognize that you're blind, right? And that's, we would say as a Christian, when we try to lead someone to the Lord, we would say that person has to first recognize they're a sinner, right? And if you don't recognize you have an issue that you need delivered from, then you won't be interested in being led to Jesus. And we see back in Mark that blind guy had to be willing to go to the one that his friend said, hey, this guy can save you, right? And so if that blind guy would have dug his heels in the sand and said, I ain't going, then he wouldn't have been delivered of his blindness that day, right? So this isn't, listen, we all want to think we're all just individuals and all that, but we do need each other, amen? There are things that you know that I need. There are things that you can do that I might need help with. There are things that I might know that you need to know. We help each other. That's the miracle of the local church is for that the body edifies itself in love. And it's not just all me to you, it's all of us to all of us, amen. That's how a local church works. This is how God put it together. As soon as someone starts thinking, I don't need anybody else, I know what I'm supposed to, and man, as soon as you start isolating yourself, you say, I know what's best for me, that is not what the Bible says. In the multitude of, that's right, there is safety, amen? And so if you cannot articulate your position to others in that are spiritually like-minded to you, then something's wrong with your position. Amen. Go ahead and breathe. Go ahead and breathe. I needed to breathe right there, amen. Acts 9, Saul is a great example of this truth and analogy. And remember, Saul was the one that was standing there consenting unto the death of Stephen, who was a great man of God. And they put him to death because they didn't like what he was preaching. And Saul was right there. Saul was trained under Gamaliel. He was really in line to be one of the leaders there in the Sanhedrin of the Pharisees in that day. We've already seen what the Pharisees, Jesus already said, they're blind. Amen. They're actually blind guides. The blind were leading the blind. But Saul was on his way to Damascus to really persecute Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. He had letters to go there for this purpose. And in verse number 1, it says, and Saul yet, we're in Acts 9:1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if they found any of this way, whether they were of men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Look at verse number 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind. He opened his eyes, his eyelids open, but he could not see. He could see no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was a little troubled, amen. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. We're going to skip a couple of verses here, but the Lord said, hey, go to this man. He was a little concerned about it, amen. Nonetheless, verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. We're in chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And by the way, from this point on, no looking back for Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. He was totally transformed. He recognized his wrong position, his sinful condition. He embraced what Christ said to him. He embraced what Ananias said to him. He embraced what the other apostles and leaders said unto him. And he was born again. And his eyes were open, not just physically, but even spiritually, so that the indictment that Jesus had against the Pharisees no longer applied to this one named Saul, because he received from Jesus that day the words and the way. And that's exactly what it takes. The words and the way. Remember, he went to persecute anyone that was of that way. Amen. And so the words of God are words of deliverance. They're also words of direction. Amen. You can't claim to know the truth and do nothing with it and it help you. That was where the Pharisees were at. They knew the words, but they were against the way. And because they, you can't just accept the way without the words or the words without the way. It's got to be both. Amen. It's the words as directives, right? He said, what must I do? Meaning he was willing to receive the words and then act upon the words. No action, then there'll be no performing from Christ's perspective of the removal of the blindness. And so that's what we see here with Paul, well, Saul, who was then called Paul. The one, when one is lost without Christ, they are blind. They need to recognize their condition and be willing to come to Jesus Christ for his direction on how they can be saved. Amen. For those of us that are Christians, in life, our spiritual sight sometimes gets dim through sin, through carnality, through our own little way of seeing things. And I want to just spend the last few moments together in 2 Peter chapter 1 to show. Because there are a lot of people here today that do claim to be born-again Christians, amen? And for you and I, we are not exempt from this blindness. Blindness can happen to us just like it can happen to anybody in a spiritual fashion, where we get locked into something and we refuse to go forward because it doesn't fit with what we want to believe, amen? Well, 2 Peter chapter number 1 and in verse number 9 says this. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Well, that begs the question, what things are these? Amen. Well, look back. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him. That's why we study the word of God. Remember, it's the truth that will make us free. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know that God has many things for us, and they all come by or through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the word of God will always lead us to glory and virtue. Glory is glorious, amen, but it is actually the emanating thing from a right position. Right? We would say that there is a Shekinah glory around God. I mean, just being around God from Moses' perspective, others, they just shone with glory. It was a brightness, amen. And for people, it's the same way. If you have spent a lot of time with God, there is a glory about you. There is a righteousness about you, which is just right. And you know it. It's like, if you're around someone that's totally evil, you would say, man, that person's, man, there's something wrong there. They are dark. I don't even like being around them. It just gives me heebie-jeebies, right? Unless you're one of them, and then it feels good, but it shouldn't, amen. Anyway, so the glory. So God leads us to glory, a righteous, right, a vibrant position in him. Glory and virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. Now, you have to know this about God. His way leads to glory and virtue. His way does not lead to a cloaking of sin, a self-righteousness. His way does not lead us to a place that we will be justified in a wrong position. If you're going to know anything about God before, if you're not in and you're thinking about getting in, know this. Everything God leads you in is right for his glory, your good, and it's going to lead you to a virtuous position. Amen? All right. So watch this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right? So we're likening this blindness would be corruption. It would be lust-filled. It would be self-serving, self-pleasing, sinful. And we find we can escape that and have that blindness removed, as it says in verse 9, through these things. It says, beside this, that doesn't mean to set aside, it means right connected with. And beside this, giving all diligence, in other words, without delay, add to your faith. Faith is where it all begins, a belief in God, belief in His Word. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, taking all that now and put it into a nice little package for you, amen. What makes a Christian become spiritually blind, based on this text? A lack of virtue. Meaning, first it would be a lack of faith. I stop believing the Word of God to be the Word of God and truth for me. I have my own truth, and it's your interpretation. By the way, nobody's been given the right to interpret the Bible themselves. It was the Holy Spirit, it says in John. He says that the when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will lead you and guide you in all truth. Amen? It's not my right to interpret the Bible. It's my opportunity to believe it. We're called believers, not interpreters. Nowhere does it say, look at that group of interpreters. It doesn't say that. It says believers. We believe. That's what we do. All right? So it's not that, oh, that's just your interpretation. That is a wicked, wicked phrase. No. There is one interpretation, and that's the one the Holy Spirit brings to us, because He is part of God, the Trinity, and He knows God's will. He knows His Word. Amen. All right, so a lack of faith leads us to walk by sight. That's spiritual blindness. A lack of virtue or a desire for moral excellence, that will lead to blindness spiritually. A lack of the knowledge of the truth. For those that don't study their Bible, read their Bible, that don't engage, you're playing with blindness, because you're trying to do this thing without God's direction daily. And you can't make a right choice that way. A lack of temperance, which is a weakness caused by self-guidance. To be temperate means to be guided by the Spirit. A lack of temperance means I'm guiding myself. A lack of patience, right? This is all taken from this text. I'm not willing to wait for God's timing. I want it, and I want it now. You're heading towards blindness, even as a Christian. A lack of godliness. It's not just good enough to be better than the person beside you. We're striving to be like God, as we've been predestined to be conformed to His image. A lack of brotherly love, which is a care for our fellow man. You won't even witness to somebody if you don't care about people's souls, your fellow man. Brotherly kindness. Kindness here means usefulness. What is the most useful thing we can do for somebody on earth? We can tell them about Jesus. Amen? But if we don't care, well, I care about everybody but that person hurt me. Oh, I'm glad Jesus didn't have that attitude. Amen. Amen. So if we start to think that way concerning our fellow man, we become blind, all right? And then a lack of charity, which is, so phileo love is a brotherly kindness type of love. Agape love is a charity kind of love, and that's what this is. If I lack charity, then I no longer want to serve others and help others across the board like God has done and been doing for you and I. Amen. Now, how do we get our spiritual sight restored as a Christian? Right through this list. Number one, believe God. Walk by faith, no matter what that means for you physically and in your life. When I get up on Sunday morning, I don't say to myself, what do I want to do today? Because what I want to do, physically speaking, is not come to church. Say, I thought you were spiritual. I'm just a person like you, amen. with the same everything going on in the background, same busyness, same everything. If it was up to me, what I would do every Sunday, I would be in and out just like some of y'all are. Amen. Did I say that? I think I did. Hallelujah. Anyway, the point is this. Walk by faith means this. I don't do what I want to do. I do what's right by God's word. Does that make sense? That's what it means to walk by faith. God makes these decisions for me, and he's always right. All right. So if I want to lose that blindness, I have to first walk by faith. Secondly, I must desire to be virtuous, which means I must desire to be morally pure. Amen? This is so important. We're not just trying to get away with something. We're not trying to build up a life that my flesh is pleased and I look good on the outside. No, I want to be right on the inside. Virtuous, amen? There has to be a desire for that, which means if there's something you're doing that's not virtuous, then stop it. And if there's something that God is saying that you need to do that's virtuous, start it, amen? So that you can be not blind. You need to become an ardent student of the Word of God, the Scriptures. Not so that you can be a good lawyer, so you can argue with others and pick up things. Oh, that person's wrong here. And oh, no, you want to study the Word of God so that you can know your Savior. And so you can know the truth and it will make you free. And it will transform you into the one that God wants you to be so you can be a vessel of honor and meet for his use. Number four, you need to become temperate, meaning that you are becoming determined that with God's help, I will stand strong in the positions that God has led me to. Amen. No longer a wishy-washy, emotional, doctrinal mess. No, I'm just going to stand strong. I'm going to be tempered or stand strong in the power of his might, like it says in Ephesians 6. And then next, if I want to not grow spiritually blind, I need to let patience have her work in my life. And I need to buy into God's timing on things and not always be upset because my timing's not worked out. Amen? This is huge for the Christian because if we grow impatient concerning God, all that does is make us have to wait longer. Amen. Isn't that amazing how that works? Number next. If you want to have your spiritual blindness removed or to not go there, you must desire to be like God in all areas of life. Next, you must let God put a love in your heart for other people, even though this will make you vulnerable. In our own mind, a safe place is I block everybody else out so no one can hurt me. But that is not the position God wants us to have. He wants us to be vulnerable, but protected by him. Amen. And then lastly, we must be willing to become charitable as a servant of the Lord, no matter who we're talking about as God directs. Ephesians 13, 4 through 8 spells that out very, very plainly. Look at 2 Peter 1 now, verse 8. It says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You forgot that this is exactly how God has been towards you. You have forgotten that this is exactly how some other believers have been towards you. And we get hurt, we get discouraged, we get all these things, and we all of a sudden feel justified to lose some of these things. But when we do, we become blind. And if you're blind and you're trying to lead yourself, all you're going to do is fall into a ditch. Verse 10, lastly, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things..." By the way, this is as a Christian. This is, we don't get saved by doing things. We get saved by trusting in what God already did on the cross. But once you're saved, we are now saved unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. These are the things that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's Ephesians 2:10. So here in 2 Peter 1:10, it says, "If ye do these things..." What's that next phrase? Say it with me. ye shall never fall. Whew. You know why? Because your eyes will always be open spiritually. And you can see what's going on around you. And you won't trip up, you won't fall, you won't fall into the ditch. But that only happens if these things are a reality in your Christian life. The Pharisees claimed to have great spiritual eyesight, didn't they? If you were to ask the Pharisee, are you where you should be spiritually, Mr. Pharisee? Oh yeah, I do this. I mean, I'm everything that God wants me to be. But were they? No, not even close. The blind man knew he was blind and had some friends that led him by the hand to Jesus. He let Jesus not only touch him, he let Jesus spit in his eye. The Lord has spit in my eye a time or two. So John, you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He said, that's disgraceful. I know I was. I was a disgrace. And I needed the Lord to spit in my eye to wake me up. And he did. And has, and probably will need to a few more times, depending how much longer I'm alive on this earth. And that's the only way I could be able to see again, is to let him spit in my eye. As a believer, amen. Physical eyesight is a tremendous blessing, but you know what's better than physical eyesight? Spiritual sight. Amen. Spiritual sight. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today, and thank you for this message. It's meant a lot to me, Lord, as I've studied this out, God. It's a huge need in my life to be very careful, spiritually speaking, so that I don't become blind. Lord, I know where the enemy would like to lead me if I was blinded to spiritual things. He would lead me into all kinds of traps and pitfalls and error. God, I cannot afford that as the pastor of this church, as a husband of my wife, as a father of my children, as a friend to many in this room and others, as a citizen of this land, I cannot afford to be blind because the enemy will lead me and I won't know any better. God, by your grace, God, help me to never be blind. As this passage says, that if I'll just keep these eight things in mind and do these, if I focus right here, God, that I will never, never fall. I'll be able to see. Oh, God, help me to be in such a case all the time. And God, if I do begin to get blind in some areas, show me quickly. And if need be, spit in my eye to wake me up and to restore my sight. God, help us today. God, might there be some here or someone that's lost and they've never been born again. They've never met Jesus Christ. They've never acknowledged themselves a sinner. Or if they have, they've not let you guide them to the throne of grace that they might... that they might acknowledge their sinful condition and confess you as Lord and Savior, as Saul did, and to repent of their sin and God to claim you as their Savior. God, they must repent. They must turn to Jesus to be healed for that first time, to be born again. And God, I pray that those that would find themselves in that case, that they would come and let someone take the scriptures and answer their questions and show them what good thing you've done for them on the cross of Calvary. God, help us today. Whatever the need is, whatever you've done in our hearts and minds, please, God, continue that work and further it to completion, that we might each leave here with our eyes wide open, with our spiritual discernment complete, able to see so that we don't fall into a ditch or be led into a bad spot. Help us now, I pray. We pray all this in Jesus' name.